today we have this Feast of the Epiphany. It's a pretty big feast day. It's more so in the Eastern Catholic traditions than in the Roman Rite, because this feast, which is traditionally the 12th day of Christmas, as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, it gets moved usually to that Sunday because they don't want to make people go to Mass twice, which I think is kind of stupid, but that's just my opinion, and I'm not the Pope, so I haven't asked the Holy Father what he thinks on it. But anyways, it's really a bigger feast in a sense. Listen to what I'm saying carefully. It's kind of a bigger deal than Christmas, because see, at Christmas, Christ was born, but there were very few witnesses to that. We heard the stories of the shepherds that showed up and the animals got to watch it, and that was it. It was on Epiphany, it was those 12 days later, that these three wise men who were understood to be Gentiles, they were not part of the chosen people of God, they were not born into the clan of Israelites, they were not one of the 12 tribes of Jacob, they were Gentiles, like most of us. I think many of us could probably much more easily associate with those three wise men, those three foreign kings, those magi, whatever name you want to give to them, that they were coming from a distant place. They were not part of the chosen people. And here they come and see this Christ, this Messiah, this person who has been sent by God to suffer and die for not just the sins of the chosen people, not just the Israelites, but all of our sins. So Epiphany was really, and that's what the word means, an epiphany, it means a manifestation, a realization that salvation is for everyone. It's not just for a certain group of people. God wants all of us in heaven. Now, whether or not we get there depends on whether or not we cooperate with God, but God, for his part, wants us all there, and he's doing everything he can to get us there. We heard the story about how the Magi came. They were following this star. They're passing, they follow the star, and they hit Jerusalem, the capital. And they go, and they say, where's this newborn king? And of course, Herod's like, excuse me, I'm the king. They say, no, not you. Where's this newborn king? And it says Herod, that gospel we just heard, Herod was greatly troubled, a threat to his power. And so what does he do? He plays dumb, and he says, well, it's supposed to be born in Bethlehem, right? The Messiah. The prophecies all said that the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. You go on, keep going to Bethlehem, and when you find him, let me know so that I can also go and pay him homage. Now, of course, Herod had no intention of paying him homage. We know Herod's intentions. Herod's intentions was to kill him so that he would be the only king. And, of course, we know what Herod did. Herod issued that order that all baby boys under 2 years old, put them to death. And that was that feast we celebrated on December 28th, the Feast of the Holy Innocents. All of those baby boys who were killed by Herod just to make sure that in case Christ was in there, assuming Christ would be in there somewhere in those 2 years, they'd be dead. But so what happens? The Magi leave Jerusalem, they continue to follow the star, and they arrive. And that's the feast we celebrate today. But they bring these three gifts. They bring these three gifts, and I want to kind of just talk about these three gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And it might seem like kind of odd gifts to bring to a baby shower, right? It's like you could have brought like Huggies, formula, you know. But they bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Why is that? They are recognizing these three Gentiles, again, these people who are not part of the chosen people of God, they are recognizing in this newborn baby his threefold office, that he is God, that he is King, and that he is going to be the Messiah, the Savior, the Christ. And that's what these three gifts all symbolize. They offer him gold because he is a king, the newborn king. They bring him gold, that symbol of the kingly office. They bring him incense, because he is God. They recognize that he is God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the eternal Son and Word of God, and God himself. And then they bring him myrrh, which is a special oil used to anoint a dead person's body. Now, those of you who heard me preach I forgot which homily it was on Christmas Eve. I preached, and if you didn't get to it, you can go to my website, rudapriest.com, and listen to that homily. But I preached on how Christ was wrapped in swaddling clothes, and those swaddling clothes were actually burial cloths. That here you have this baby who was born to die. He was born ultimately to suffer and die for our sins. And yes, to teach us and to set the example and all of that, but really to suffer and die for our sins, to do something that only he could do. The wise men recognize that, and they bring him myrrh. They bring a newborn baby the ointment that would be one day used to anoint his dead body, to prepare it for burial. So those three wise men, as we heard from that second letter, St. Paul to the Ephesians, they had that revelation made to them. What does St. Paul say in that second reading? He said that we realize now that the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, co-partners in the promise of Christ Jesus, that salvation is not just for a select few. And the Magi today, those three wise men, those three kings, they recognize that. They come from far corners of the earth. And they come and they bring him these three gifts, recognizing that he is king, that he is God, and that he is Savior. And we heard, by the way, we heard this prophesied in that first reading from the prophet Isaiah. We hear those very same gifts. Caravans of camels shall fill you, dromedaries from Midian. They shall come bearing gold and frankincense and proclaiming the praises of the Lord. By the way, did you know there's a difference between a camel and a dromedary? Does anyone other than Chaplain Conklin know the difference between a camel and a dromedary? I don't feel bad. I didn't know until like I had to give my first homily on this feast day. Apparently, a camel has like two humps and a dromedary has one. Or maybe I have it reversed. One has one hump, one has two. But we heard that prophesied in Isaiah. Isaiah, way before Christ comes, prophesies that people will come from the ends of the earth. They will recognize that this baby boy is King and God and Savior. And they bring those three gifts that symbolize that threefold office. Today we can rejoice that this has been made manifest to the whole world. We can also ask ourselves, what am I doing? What am I doing to extend this celebration of Epiphany to bring others into relationship with God? Our job is not to just get into a relationship with God ourselves and say, well, thank God I found out about Jesus Christ. Thank God I became a Christian. Thank God I have access to the sacraments now. Yeah, thank God for all of that. But then go out into the world and bring that good news to everyone else. And to say, this guy, this baby boy, who is King and God and Savior, it's not just for a few of us, it's for all of us. It's what makes this feast kind of a politically incorrect feast. To tell someone that, no, this religion is for you. All religions are not the same, and they're not all true. Sure, they all have ounces of the truth in them, to varying degrees. But to say, Christianity, specifically Catholic Christianity, is the truth, the fullness of the truth, as Vatican II reminded us. And it's for you. It is not just for a select few of us. Now, we don't beat it down people's throats, as Pope Benedict said, we don't impose the gospel, we propose the gospel. But that's our job. We have to go out, we have to do that.